Hey, I don't know for you, when you think about something that's unclean, have you ever gone to your fridge and you've got your tea, or I don't know, people don't usually put milk in coffee, but you got your cereal and you pour it and this clump comes out and you're like, oh, you know? Or you go to the fridge and I don't know why we do this. We go to the fridge and we're like, it's pretty old. Let's just open it to see. And then it's like a chia pet and you're like, oh, yeah. Why do we do that? Why would we even smell? You know it's bad. Why do we do that? When I was in Vancouver yesterday for the airport for far too long because my flight was delayed, because that never ever happens to anybody. I just, you know, I'm the only guy that's ever happened to. So I'm there for hours and hours and I consumed something or ate something. I don't know at what point. And oh my gosh, my stomach started to turn. And what we would say when I was a younger person, before I knew the Lord, and we had a hard night where they were drinking or something, and we would be on our hands and our knees near the toilet. We'd say, oh, I was praying to the porcelain gods last night. You know, like, it just was like completely messed up when your stomach is turning and you get all these emotions and feelings. It just messes with you. But what I want to talk about is spiritual cleanliness on the inside. Because we can easily, again, as I referred to this morning, it's like, we can look good on the outside. We can put a big old smile on, you know, doing good. Trim my beard, you know, looking okay. But what's really going on inside? Because just my physical body right now, honestly, is my stomach is turning. I don't know what I ate. That was just brutal. I don't even want to tell you where I ate because that would just be, you know, not good live on camera. Sorry, welcome all those that have joined us online. for real here this morning, I want to do a quick recap of 3 weeks ago I spoke a message on spring cleaning. That was part one, and we're going to finish the message today in Matthew chapter 7, if you want to go there with me. And so we'll just kind of do a quick recap. I'm going to go through a couple verses, just recapping 3 weeks ago the message I gave. So we're going to move a little bit quickly here. Oh, look at that fancy new box right there for my glasses. Woohoo! Yeah, new ones. The eyes are not getting better. Let's just say that out loud. Bigger font, nice, bigger glasses. So the quick recap is, in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 14, it says, then you must inquire, probe, and investigate it thoroughly, because what happens in Matthew chapter 7 is, I'm going to get there, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law had come to Jerusalem to see what Jesus was up to. Now, they were taught in the Old Testament to inquire, probe, and investigate what was happening in the spiritual realm, what was happening in the church. So they were doing their due diligence. Now, obviously, what the Pharisees saw in Jesus when he was touching unclean people and unclean people were touching Jesus, the Pharisees were not happy campers. They said, we're looking at this. That is against the law because we are law-obeying citizens. And that's wrong. Jesus should not do that. And then Pastor Ben so eloquently last week put this majestic message around Leviticus, which was super awesome, on apparentness. And you kind of tied that theme together. So I think there's this, God is saying something to you, to me, to our church right now about this clean and unclean spirit and how we're doing with that and what can we learn from that. And so that was really sweet. If you missed it, go back and watch. It was brilliant. Now, these Pharisees were confused because as we read in verse 3 and 4, it talks about the Pharisees going, hey, they're not even washing their hands before they eat. Now, I think, you know, through all of our stuff, you know, we got squirty things on the wall and soap in the bathrooms and all kinds of chemicals all over the place. Like, you should probably clean your hands every so often. Hey, good morning. Great to see you. Like, don't do that. That's terrible. Like, make sure you get the outside clean. There is some truth to that, but it needs to be more than that. You know, if you're just standing at the door and you're completely broken and a disaster and a complete mess and you're out of control, you're like, well, I just put some soap on my hands. There we go. I'm better now. It's all good. You know, like, no. There's something going on in there. So we got to deal with that. We got to look at that. And so this was the third time that we see Mark kind of bringing out this clean and unclean thought process into chapter 7. So the Pharisees are seeing this. And Jesus would say this often about them. If we went back to Matthew and his gospel just for a second, Matthew 25, 26. And I think it's wrong when I was looking at it on the screen there. Let's just see. Let's watch it come up. Oh, no, it's totally right. Sorry, this morning I was watching it. So blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, then the outside will be clean as well. So this is what we're learning here in chapter 7 of Mark. We've got to take care of the inside so that the outside will be taken care of. So let's get back into the story. A little bit of a foundation there. Got the ball rolling with us. So let's jump into the story here. Verse 6. So Mark 7, 6. He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, the Pharisees. as it was written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching about rules taught by men. It's legalistic. And you let go of the commands of God and you're holding to the traditions laid down by men. You and I often do this when we get saved. We've been living a certain way in our lives. You know, we've got kind of our own morality, our own ethics and rules. Then we get saved and we bring some of that for the ride. And God is saying, don't do that. You follow me, you follow and you obey my laws and my teachings. That's all you follow. All this tradition stuff, you know, looking good on the outside and, you know, lip service, that's not God. That's not Christianity. That's not what God is asking of you. And I love Isaiah. Let's go back to the Old Testament, just like Pastor Ben did. Because when you look at the New Testament, there's something that's what we call an example of the same teaching. Or if we're in the Old Testament, we can look to the New Testament and find the same thing. So Isaiah's got this great thought process in Isaiah chapter 1, starting in verse 10. It's a little bit lengthy. We're going to go through it, then we'll pause, and I'll kind of give it a bit of a recap. Okay, so the Pharisees, again, are doing wrong. In Isaiah's time, the people are doing wrong. This is what it says in verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifice, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough burnt offerings, rams and fattened cats, the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling in my court? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons and Sabbaths and I can't bear your evil assemblies, your gatherings, your new moon festivals and your appointed feast. My soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands to pray, I will hide my eyes. Wow, that's so hard to read. Even if you offer my prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Stop doing wrong. Stop being bad. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, like, isn't that a little bit humbling? You're like, I'm trying, Lord. You know, I try to do better every day. And it's hard. And you just think, well, I don't need to be reminded. Thank you. So what do we do about it? And you're going to be shocked by what the scripture is about to say to you. Because you would think that God would just come down, it's Old Testament God now, that you would just get judged instantly. Oh, you're a bunch of wrongdoers, you know, and zapped you. Oh, watch what God says. Don't we love God? Don't we love the God of the Bible? Not these traditions, not these ideas that you have, because the weight that you feel, there should be punishment, there should be guilt. But then watch what God says to you. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Verse 17, Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Huh. That's the kind of God I want to serve. When we're wrong, when we've done bad, let's work together on this. Through your sins are like scarlet, like my wife was reading prophetically this morning in her scripture. They shall be white as snow, man. Come on. Though they are red as crimson, just like you already read, they shall be like wool. All the things that were bad and wrong, they will be made right. You, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. The word of the Lord has spoken. Wow, isn't that heavy? And just get you all excited. Okay, so what did we take away from those statements here? We can see clearly here, some things we've done wrong. What do we do about it? We learn. We seek, we defend, we take up, and we plead. Okay, so unpack that a little bit. So how do we stop doing wrong and being bad and all these kind of things? Oh my gosh, I just feel this weight. Oh, you go to church or you've ever been somewhere, you're like, you ought to sit in the principal's office like, you know. Like, then imagine if the principal responded this way. Let's learn through that process together. Let's seek. Let's seek to do better. Seek and you'll find. Let's defend. There's an enemy. There's somebody coming to mess with you. Let's kick his butt. You know, that's what it's kind of saying. Defend. You know, like defend. You know, as the man of the house, let's defend. As the leaders of our community and our churches, like, let's defend this. Let's stand up for it. Let's take up our cross daily. Because if you're going to take it up today, great. But tomorrow you got to do it again. Because tomorrow's going to be just as difficult. Okay, let's do it again. And God says, let's work together and let's do that. Yeah, I don't see a God that says like, you morons, what's wrong with you? I don't read a God like that. God is like, hey, like we're champions, man. We've conquered the grave. We're winners. Let's do this together. That's what I read. And then plead with the Lord. Plead that the Holy Spirit would come with you. Say, God, I'm messed up. I need the Holy Spirit. I need comfort. I can't do this on my own. Plead with God. Isn't that wonderful news? I love the Word of God. So good. The first thing we got to admit, though, is like, I got a problem. And we take it to God. And almost like we've read about somebody going to God and saying, if I could just touch his clothing, I'll be healed. And people crying out that had skin diseases, nobody wanted to touch. Oh, God, please just touch me and I'll be healed. God, touch them. It's the same way for you and I. I think back to a time when many of us were here that day. Almi and I were just had this real sense in our heart. We just really felt impressed. We want to just lay hands on every person in our church and pray for you. And oh my gosh, I know that probably the back row people and the board was like, this is nuts, what are you doing? There was this huge lineup of like a, you know, Black Friday sale somewhere. It was just like lined up right to the front. And it took like, it felt like 2 hours. We were here. There was something going on next door and we just kept praying and praying. And you kept waiting. I thought, they're gonna fizzle out, man. They're gonna be like, this game 7, it's 6-0. Like, we're out of here, man. Like, no, they just kept waiting. We just kept praying for you. It was so sweet. But I feel that same impression on my heart this morning. I won't do that way, I promise. But I want you to imagine right now, because it's not about Omni and I. We wanted to touch you because we wanted God to touch you. And so right now, and I would often ask us of you, you know that. So when somebody's here, I'd say, is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder? I ask your permission, because for some that might be a bit too much. And so I just ask. I want you to envision this right now. God is asking you right now, can I put my hand on your shoulder? Now you have to respond, not me. It's an invitation is there. God said, can I place my hand on your shoulder and just pray for you for a moment? He wants to meet that need. He wants to meet what you're going through. And what is your response to him? I don't know. It's your choice. But just for a moment right now, let's just close our eyes so we're not distracted. I know there's a spouse next to you, a kid next to you. There's something going on. I want you to imagine just Jesus sitting next to you. You haven't hidden anything from him. He knows. And he's looking at you saying, it's okay if I just place my hand on your shoulder and pray for you. I can see you're struggling. Let's do it together. I'm here for you. Just allow that sweet presence of the Holy Spirit to come and to comfort you now. Father, would rivers of your blessing and your healing just be deposited on us, your people, your church. Father, we desperately want to do it. We just want to do it right. We want to do our best. We can't do it alone. So please, oh God, would you touch us in a way that only you can and fill us with your Spirit so that we're overflowing vessels so that we can be a blessing to ourselves and to others. Lord, we want our community just transformed in Jesus' name. We feel like Jesus is the answer to all of our community's problems. And so would we lock into that? Would we focus on that? And do what only you can do this morning. When we pray, God, we know that things are happening that are not physically possible. When you heal things, you're doing things that doctors can't do. You're restoring things that were broken. So thank you for doing that, Lord. Thank you for being so gentle in that process as a loving heavenly Father would do, as a loving Father would do. Amen and amen. I do want to get back to the story, though. So we're back in Mark chapter 7. We're just unpacking a little bit more here of this story here. In verse 9 it says, and he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. We've talked about this a little bit. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received for me is korban, which is a gift devoted to God, then you will no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition. Wow, man. That you would be handed down, that was handed down. And you do many things like that. Okay, so we got to understand that just a little bit there. Okay, so at that time, people that were Pharisees or teachers of the law or Sadducees, they would have this law that would say, I'm going to devote something to the house of the Lord, to the church, and it will be set aside, it'll be sacrificed and honored to the church, and so that it will never go to my family. Okay, so just as a simple example, I don't have it this morning. This is my ring, obviously I'm married. And then I have my grandmother's ring I wear sometimes, 24 karat gold. It's really soft, so I don't like taking it out too often. It's beautiful. And so that would be like an inheritance for my kids. But I could take it and say, I'm going to dedicate this to the Lord. I'm going to dedicate this to the church. I'm going to put it in the church. Now, what they were doing was so legalistic, it was wrong, because what they were doing was saying to their family, oh, everything's the Lord's now. Sorry, I can't take care of you, because I sacrificed it to God. I gave it to the church. And now my family's suffering. Oops, sorry, you're bad luck. I have to do what's right for the Lord. You guys can suffer. Don't worry about that. And then we spiritualize it. This is what they would do, something like this. I would say to my family, four kids, oh my gosh, we eat like a whole store every week. It's insane. I don't know what happens. The price just keeps going up. It's awesome. But I would say to them, oh, sorry, guys, I felt the Lord lead me to give my whole paycheck this month to the church. How spiritual of me. But the Lord is saying, we're going to fast this month. And we're trying to spin it in a way, right? Oh, as a family, we're going to fast this month because we want to, because we're doing it for the Lord, right? Like, that's ridiculous. That's hypocritical. That's false teaching. That's false doctrine. And that's what Jesus is calling out on these legalistic leaders. They're saying, it's not even common sense what you're doing anymore, because you've twisted it in a way. And so I challenge us as a church, let's make sure we're doing things that are devoted to God for the right reasons, not to not take care of ourselves. Like, that seems criminal. It just seems wrong to do that. And Jesus was calling them out like, you hypocrites, you foolish people. And so let's continue to look a little bit further. Let's return to that story in Mark chapter 7, verse 14. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen to me, every one of you understand this. Nothing outside of a man makes him unclean by going into him, although it makes you feel very unclean sometimes. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean, the things that we say and we do. And these religious people were saying to non-Jews, they were saying to the Gentile people, saying, because you don't follow all these laws here and all these made-up traditional laws, you're unclean. You're all unclean. And so there's some kind of like hierarchy, there's some kind of list. And they would even go to say, is like, there's what we call vice lists. There would be lists of things, do, don't do, don't do, don't do. And they would teach upon this. And this is how you would distinct, you know, a clean person really from an unclean person. So that's so twisted. That's so wrong. We don't judge each other. We love each other. And these people were more concerned, the Pharisees were more concerned about the legal details than on ethics and morality and common sense again. These experts of the law spent more time focusing on the legal issues than watching God work in front of their very eyes. They just completely missed it. And so let's get our eyes focused on God. Let's get our hearts right. And let me say this. Rather than being legalistic with our wrong or bad behavior, let's, like Isaiah said, let's learn together. Let's seek the Lord together. Let's defend where we stand against the enemy. Let's take up our cross. Let's bring Jesus along. Let's plead together. Because you need to hear this, and I've needed to hear this many times in my life. You're not a bad person. You are not a bad person. You're not a bad person. And you guys are not bad people, and you're not a bad person either. You have to hear that, because the voices that are coming inside your head typically would say, every time you make a mistake, I'm wrong, I'm beaten up, I'm defeated. No wonder why I'm a disaster. How can God use me? You're not a bad person. God is asking you to go on a journey with him that we could learn and grow together. That's what God is asking you to do. So when we come here to church, we do that together. No matter what happened, even this morning, last night, last week, God is saying, hey, we can learn from that. Let's work together. Let's do better next time. And let's grow from that. That's just the point of the message. That's just a great thought, because then we're going to read here near the end of this whole kind of piece here of clean and unclean, the last couple of verses. He went on in verse 20. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For with him, out of a man's heart, comes evil desires, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. So we can hear that. And so what do we do with that? I want to just be real transparent with you. Is that something's happened in my life recently that's brought up or triggered something that happened to me in my past. And so I'm just processing, I'm working through it, and soon I will share it with you and it'll become part of my testimony. But I feel like it's something I'm navigating. And so when I say, hey, as a pastor, as your pastor, I'm working through some stuff. Hey, we're all working through some stuff together. And when it comes to this idea that a couple weeks ago, I can't remember now, so much has happened recently, but when I was ordained here and I was given the title of resigning Pastor Rob and taking on Reverend Rob, I tried to communicate my best, and I think I made it clear enough, but that day I said in my mind, I was thinking, hey, I just wasn't ordained that day and received a reverend title. Like, Omni and I were one, and so we were ordained that day. And I feel very similar to our church. Like, I couldn't receive that, or, you know, as Ken Russell, the district superintendent, was saying all these wonderful things about me, it's because together we've done that. You have made me better. And so we're all ordained. We're all learning and growing together. Isn't that just a wonderful thought? This isn't an individual. This is like a team effort. And I really wanted to encourage you with that thought. As it comes to just the closing of this message of our time together, I want to think about, again, this idea of whatever's going on inside of you that, you know, needs some heart surgery, that you would allow God to do that. And so at the end of our services and our time together, we always give a few minutes just to reflect. Again, we came, we worshiped, we heard scripture, you've heard a message, and now it's time to reflect and listen. This is something we don't do super well as Christians, just be quiet and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. So I want to pray now, and then we're just going to make some space of just being quiet for a few moments. And so, God, this morning, we thank you for the word. Oh, God, your word is so rich. It's alive this morning as we read it. Even though it was written thousands of years ago, it's alive today. And it's teaching us and growing us and changing us. Lord, I pray against every thought that brings us down in the sense of that we feel bad. That is not from God. And so we command you in Jesus' name to leave now. And I ask, oh God, that your Holy Spirit, who is a God of comfort and peace, would come now and just flood us from the top of our heads. Like an anointing oil would run down our bodies and cleanse us, as we read. Things that are broken and red, that they would be cleansed and turned white in Jesus' name, because we are men and women of God. We are saved and set free. The enemy has no hold on us because we have a plan and you have a purpose for us. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.